I'm delighted to say that Keith Donegan, the owner of RPM, is with me here, and Adam Fitzgerald, driver with RPM. They're both here in studio. Guys, you're so very welcome. It's been really exciting following your story, both Keith and Adam. I guess a lot of us would have grown up watching Formula One, but not really understanding what a big deal it was and how difficult it was to make it to the top. But you guys are starting your journey, and it's really exciting. Keith, you're the owner of RPM. You're only 26. Adam, you're the driver. You're only 19. Ruby, they look so young. They look really, really young.
That's because they are young.
They are young, exactly. But Keith, tell us a little bit about how you got to this, to where you are now.
Yeah, firstly, Marie, thanks for having us on. I started off like Adam as a driver, and then basically I got to a good level in the sport. I raced in the States. I won a scholarship over there, but I was always really interested in the technical side of racing, so that kind of drew me to the engineering aspect. And then I did business in college as well, so I thought I could run a team, and then I took the step last year. I always wanted to be in a really competitive championship. I wanted to measure myself against the best of the best. So what other place could I do it other than a European stage and a European championship? So that's kind of how it all started. And Adam's one of our drivers for this year, and we're in our second full year in the championship, and it's going well so far.
Keith, there's loads of people that are into the technical side of every sport, and most of them go off and get a job as an engineer or get a job with a team. How did you decide that, hey, I'm just going to buy my own team?
Yeah, it was 2018, Ruby, to be honest, when I was working over in, well, when I was racing over in the States. I hadn't enough money for the full drive, so I was working in the workshop during the day, and I really liked the whole buzz of being in the team. And then I was like, okay, look, at this point I really want to have my own team. So then I set my sights on doing everything I could to try and raise enough funding to start the team. And an opportunity kind of came up there in 2021, about 3 years later, after I made a decision of what I wanted to do with racing in the future. And here we are now.
How much pressure are you under? You're running a business in Navan, you're running a team in Italy. I know you're 26, but this is pressure.
It is, Ruby, yeah. It's definitely not easy. It's hard to juggle everything, but I suppose when you love something, when you're passionate about it, you just find a way. Like, you have to make it work. There's no other option. And it's hard to kind of, after a high at the weekend, come straight back into work on the Monday, back down to earth. But my mum is good at keeping me grounded and keeping my 2 feet on the ground, and you know, you have to play on no matter what I thought the results are like at the weekend. So it's a lot of pressure, but yeah, I love it.
Adam, so 19, you only a few years ago were a fresh-faced rugby player, and you have now got to the stage where you are driving for RPM and the world is your oyster. How did you get to this stage?
Yeah, first of all, thanks for having me. Like you said, I played rugby for most of my childhood up until the age of about 15 or 16. And about around that time, when I was 16, I got into karting through a friend of my dad's who introduced me. So I had a go at that. I went to my local kart track up in Meath, Athboy, found a team up there, hopped into a kart just for fun, driving around, loved it, fell in love with it straight away. And from there, I fell in love with the goal of Formula One. And from there, I started watching it and trying to plan out, okay, is it possible? Is it possible? Is this a goal that I can achieve? And if so, how do I go about getting there? So I did 1 year of karting in the UK, British Karting Championship. And then from there, I moved up to British Formula 4 in 2021. That went well. And then towards the end of that year, Keith reached out to me to discuss the possibility of me racing for his team this year, RPM. And at that time, I was following their results, and they were making really good progress. And when I had the first meeting with Keith, I was just really, really impressed. You know, from the operation he runs, it's really impressive to be competing on that level in Europe, and in his first year in the championship, to be taking on them top teams and even getting a pole position and two podiums, I think it was, is really impressive. So It seemed like the best decision for me, and luckily I was able to make it work, and now I have one of the seats in the team for this year.
Adam, I feel like you've taken us on a really whistle-stop tour of how you get from a rugby pitch to a motor racing circuit there. But
yeah, I kind of jumped through the years fairly fast, didn't I?
Jumped through a hell of a lot, I would say. I was no different than any young fella. You get in a cart, you think it's great crack, but trying to keep the cart on the track and trying to understand the aerodynamics, the spin, how to even overtake, get the flow of the person in front of you. You've no background in motorsport. How much learning did you have to do?
A lot. So, like, for context, most people I'd be competing against would have started when they're probably 5 or 6 karting. So, yeah, I jumped into one of the most competitive karting championships in the world in England my first year. So I had so much to learn competing against drivers who had 10 plus years of experience. So that's what it was. It was learning. But I was so committed to it. I mean, this was during COVID, and it was tough even to get over to England. I remember every time we'd have to get the ferry over to England, we'd do a night sailing from Northern Ireland. We'd arrive into Liverpool Port at 5 a.m. maybe, drive to the track and be on the track that same morning. And we'd do that every second weekend for the whole year almost. So being in Ireland too made it even more difficult, as well as, you know, coming over there, learning, dealing with setbacks and bouncing back the next weekend, trying to improve.
And obviously there's the buzz, but obviously the technical aspect of it most interested to say you've kept learning. What did karting teach you? What did you learn most from karting that inspired you to go into cars?
There's so much things. I suppose understanding, you know, what it's like to put, whether it's a car or a kart, on the limit of what it can do, and understanding how that feels and how to react and how to get the most out of the kart, and in qualifying and in the races. You also learn how to, you know, handle race situations, the pressure, everything like that, race starts. So karting teaches you the fundamentals. But then when you move to cars, it's different again, because, you know, it's completely different. You've got the aerodynamic side of it. You've got the so many different things you can do with the setup of the car, which I had to learn as well. Like the car, the difference in the teams is made by, you know, the knowledge that they have with the car setup and, you know, stuff like that. So yeah, it was a lot to learn.
Racing is about losing. I know that more than anybody. How are you with losing?
I would say I'm fairly good. I've had a good bit of experience with it now. Like most drivers, you know, car racing is very up and down. It's rare for someone to, you know, dominate. It's some weekends you're quick, some weekends you might struggle a bit, but I think in the weekends that you do struggle, that's the times where you learn the most and progress the most, because it's easy to, you know, have a good result and just forget about it. But when you're struggling, it's where you really break it down, analyze it, and then try to come back stronger for the next weekend.
I'm the only one in this conversation who has no experience of trying to steer something that's going really fast. Keith, just even that point of it, just the whole speed and the danger element, when you guys are in it, when you're watching it, when you're watching Adam and the other drivers as well, do you ever get worried?
Not really. I suppose the competitive aspect, Marie, takes over. Like, even it's difficult sometimes whenever you see a car even crash or go off in the race, you're disappointed before you're worried. You know, you're saying, "Oh, I missed opportunity. You know, we could have had a really good result." And I suppose it's different for the parents. It's different because they have the whole safety aspect too. And I know when I was racing, my mum was petrified. Like, she couldn't watch any of the racing, because the speeds that Adam and these guys are doing, it's unbelievable. Like, you're talking almost 250 kilometers an hour, so it's over double what you do on the motorway. And it's very difficult to put that feeling across to people of what it's like driving at them speeds and the corner speeds with the downforce on these cars. So it's a short answer is I do care about the drivers, but I care a lot about the results too.
You're not thinking like when your 70, 80, 100 grand car goes off the track and is left in mush. Business. Oh my God!
I had a bit of experience with that in the first race weekend. Actually, I had an injury where I fractured 3 vertebrae, so that was not a good start. It set me back quite a bit. So I have a bit of experience with that. But yeah,
Ruby, you know all about that.
Oh, I do. Yeah, compression.
I was afraid to say that.
Yeah,
he's the expert.
The good thing about vertebrae is that they do heal. That's a good sign.
Yeah.
But Keith, the business element of it and getting the sponsorship, getting backers, getting, it's not sponsorship, it's investors you need. Yes. How difficult is that?
It's really difficult, Ruby, to be honest. In the last few years, it's improved because the awareness around motorsport with Drive to Survive has been great. It's been brilliant for the junior formulas like us because everybody's looking to see who's going to be the next Formula One world champion. That's really who Adam is competing against and Adam is trying to be. So there is more interest filtering down from companies and from investors, and it's not easy, but it's definitely looking positive for the future. There's a lot of big names coming into the sport, and obviously we depend a lot on it, so it's obviously very heavy financially, and we need good partners and people that really believe in the sport to help us be successful as a team.
You have three cars competing now. You're a couple of weeks to your next race, which is in Hungary, I think, is it?
Yeah, it's in Hungary, Hungaroring,
yeah. Hungaroring. But you're going to get three cars there, three drivers, three teams of engineers, tyres, etc., etc. Do you ever sit down and think, where am I getting the dough?
There was times, last year was very difficult, Ruby, to be honest. It was the first year, so we had to set up everything. And you're kind of living race to race on the edge. And this year it's settled down because we haven't had to invest so much in the team. But last year there was points where it was touch and go, and you're kind of living race to race and hoping that you're going to get some good results. And we were lucky enough then towards the end of last year we could show our true potential, which left it easier then for this year. Like Adam was telling you, we had the two podiums and pole position, so we were really competing among the best teams, and we could be regarded as one of the top teams. So it's a very, very fickle game. If you're one day you're at the top, you know, one day, you know, no one regards you anymore. So you just have to stay on top of your game all the time, and there's usually more bad days than good, to be honest.
Ruby, it sounds like a small trainer trying to compete with Willie Mullins.
It is, but I mean, when you think about it, like, Adam, you can obviously, or you will hope to qualify into Formula 3 and take the steps up along. But Keith, where can you bring this team?
Well, for me, Ruby, the goal would be for RPM to get it to an F2 level. It's not realistic to say I can get it into Formula 1 like Eddie Jordan, but I can definitely take it to that level. Obviously, you need billions of investment now to get into Formula 1, but I think we're only two steps away from where we can be. We entered at quite a high level and we've showed what we can do. So now it's just really trying to get the investment and the partners on board to be able to take our RPM to the next level and then keep the results coming, because at the end of the day, it's a results business.
And when you get it, or you hope to get it to F2 with Adam going with you, have you got something you can cash in?
We'll see when we
please
get to that point.
I swear to God, I am full of admiration for you. If you have put your neck on the line here and you're building a business that's a motor racing sport and you can get it to F2 and cash in, I think you're a hero.
But I have to say, this is as interested as I've ever heard Ruby now in anything. He loves this.
Right, so you're talking about people say, where do you go in the world? We have a 19-year-old, a 26-year-old standing in the studio, putting their money where their mouth is and their life on the line. How do you not admire that?
Well, thanks, Ruby.
The perfect way to finish it, because that's exactly what you're doing. And guys, thanks so much for coming in and chatting with us today. And I echo everything that Ruby says as well. And we're looking forward to following how you get on over the next while. We're going to take a quick break now, though. But stay with us, because Alan Cawley and Stephen Kelly are standing by to look back on the Premier League season. RTE 2FM.